Good afternoon, everyone. You know, as the solar eclipse happens next week and the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, Andrew Bozos is going to be cruising at about 17,000 feet with rosé in hand as he dropped $2,000 to watch the eclipse from a private plane's window. We'll explain what all that is about. In the headlines in the update this Tuesday, a procession of NYPD officers on foot and driving motorcycles said one last goodbye, escorting the remains of their slain colleague, Jonathan Diller, to a Long Island church for his funeral service. We'll have details. Speaking of the eclipse, inmates in the state of New York are suing the Corrections Department over the decision to lock down the prisons during the solar eclipse. Everybody in Queens is meeting the Mets out there. Not only did the Mets drop to 0-4 for the first time since 2005 with their extra inning loss to the Tigers, but Tylor Megill was placed on the 15-day injured list with a right shoulder strain one day after he was limited to 4 innings in his season debut. And we've learned that Lou Conter, the last living survivor of the USS Arizona battleship that exploded and sank during the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor, has died. He was 102 years old. This is the update, Tuesday, April the 2nd, 2024. Every city has a story, and in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know. Because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Tuesday. Theoretically speaking, it is the start of a brand new week for us together around here. And with a new week and a new month comes rain, and more of it. Feels like we've been saying that quite a lot lately. But there is some light at the end of this dank, dark, dreary... How many other D words can we fit in here to describe the weather? But yes, temperatures in the 60s next week with lots of sunshine and no rain chances to talk about. So, you know, there's that to look forward to. I don't know. Also, folks, welcome to April. Yes, one step closer to the summer of 2024. Of course, we all know the summertime. It's about that family togetherness, you know? Eating ice cream. And all the stuff that makes the summer, you know, the summer. And also, this season, the baseball season, is only 4 days old. But it seems like the Mets and the Yankees really have two different seasons at hand. For the Mets, for the Yankees, they have gone undefeated. 4 wins, 0 losses. And the Mets, as you will about to hear, have 0 wins and 4 losses. Baseball is just a weird, weird sport, you know? I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Tuesday's proceedings over on Long Island, where that procession of NYPD officers on foot and driving motorcycles, they escorted the remains of their slain colleague, Jonathan Diller, to a church for his funeral service over the weekend. The solemn cry of bagpipes and drums hailed Dillers's arrival at St. Rose of Lima Roman Catholic Church in Massapequa Park on Long Island. The Reverend Michael Duffy, naming Dillers's surviving wife and one-year-old son in a homily delivered inside the church, said, quote, "The city is mourning a cop. The tens of thousands of police officers outside are mourning a brother-in-arms. But Stephanie and Ryan are mourning their everything." Diller, of course, was shot last Tuesday during a traffic stop. The first NYPD officer killed in the line of duty in more than 2 years. Mayor Adams also posthumously promoted him to detective first grade. Now, on to some of the other news of this Tuesday. An indecision 2024. The election is now a good, about 7 months away now. So, you know, mark your calendars for Election Day. And on the Republican side, the presumptive nominee, Donald Trump, he drew criticism on Friday for posting a video on social media that contained the image of a hog-tied President Biden painted on the tailgate of a passing truck. The Biden campaign was quick to condemn that video for suggesting physical harm to the sitting president. Biden, of course, has portrayed his likely opponent this year as someone who freely evokes Nazi imagery with regard to immigrants, while also stressing in speeches that Trump's efforts to overturn his loss in the 2020 elections ultimately led to the insurrection at the Capitol. Michael Taylor, the Biden communications director, said, quote, "Trump is regularly inciting political violence. It's time that people take him seriously. Just ask the Capitol police officers who were attacked, protecting our democracy on January 6th. The Easter weekend, of course, just passed, and the mayor of this city, Eric Adams, he marked Good Friday by receiving a jailhouse baptism from the Reverend Al Sharpton, joining in on the religious rite with a group of men incarcerated at troubled Rikers Island. The ceremony came as a part of a visit to the jail, where Adams was scheduled to meet with detainees on the Christian holiday. Adams said in a statement, quote, "Having been arrested and then elected mayor, I reminded these young men that where you are is not who you are. For the first time in their lives, their mayor didn't look down at them. I sat side by side with them to be cleansed and recommit ourselves to getting on the right path." Speaking of the mayor in this town, there, of course, has been more trouble on the subway regarding violent crime. City officials are continuing to try to crack down on said violent crime. They announced a pilot program on Thursday to deploy portable gun scanners into the subway system, part of an effort to deter the violence underground and to make the system feel safer. The mayor said that the scanners will be introduced in certain stations after a legally mandated 90-day waiting period. Adams, who also announced on this day a plan to send additional outreach workers into the subway stations to try to get people with mental health issues who are living in the system into treatment, said, quote, "Keeping New Yorkers safe on the subway and maintaining confidence in the system is key to ensuring that New York remains the safest big city in America." Adams said that officials would work to identify companies with expertise in weapons detection technology, and that after the waiting period, the scanners will be instituted in some subway stations, quote, "where the NYPD will be able to further evaluate the equipment's effectiveness." The former president, he's posted that bond of $175 million yesterday in his civil fraud case here in New York, halting the collection, of course, of the more than $450 million that he owes, and preventing the state from seizing his assets to satisfy the debt while he appeals, according to a court filing. An appellate court had given the former president just 10 days to put up the money, after a panel of judges agreed last month to slash the amount needed to stop the clock on enforcement. The bond that Trump is posting with the court now is essentially a placeholder, meant to guarantee payment if the judgment is upheld. If that happens, the presumptive Republican nominee will have to pay the state the whole sum, which, by the way, of course, grows with daily interest. But if Trump wins, he won't have to pay the state anything, and he'll be able to get back the money that he's currently put up now. The solar eclipse, it actually is happening next Monday on April the 8th, and you'll be able to see it across parts of this state, and we'll actually talk about that more a little bit later. The reason why we're talking about it now is because inmates here in the state of New York, they are suing the corrections department over the decision to lock down the prisons during the total solar eclipse. The suit filed on Friday in federal court upstate argues that the lockdown, coming on April 8th, violates inmates' constitutional rights to practice their faiths by preventing them from taking part in a religiously significant event. The plaintiffs are all six men with varying religious backgrounds who are incarcerated at the Woodburn Correctional Facility in Woodburn. They include a Baptist, a Muslim, a Seventh-day Adventist, and two practitioners of Santeria, as well as an atheist. The complaint reads, quote, "A solar eclipse is a rare natural phenomenon with great religious significance to many, noting that Bible passages describe an eclipse-like phenomenon during Jesus' crucifixion, while sacred Islamic works describe a similar event when the Prophet Muhammad's son died." Should have gotten water if it was going to be this long. Meanwhile, we're going to go up to New Windsor, where those high winds that happened last week, and also some turbulence, it forced a United Airlines flight from Israel to be diverted on Friday from its destination of Newark Liberty International Airport to Stewart. to Stewart International Airport in New Windsor, according to the authorities. Approximately 200 passengers were on board, according to the Orange County executive Stephen M. Newhouse in an evening statement. Some passengers were taken to local hospitals for evaluation, while the rest were brought to Newark Airport. Thankfully, according to Newhouse, none of the passengers had serious injuries. The flight originated from Tel Aviv, according to WABC. Stewart Airport is about 60 miles north of New York City. In other news, over in Moores, two men from Senegal were frozen to death when they were found in the snow of a wooded area close to the Canadian border, according to the state police. The bodies of Abdoulaye Ndoye and Nango Sari, both 25 years old, from Dakar, were found yesterday in the border town of Moores. A Border Patrol agent was on a routine search in the woods when a canine detected a body under the snow, and then a second body, according to the state police, they said in a release on Thursday. Authorities did not say why they believed the men were in the woods, though their bodies were found in a rural part of the state that has become increasingly popular for people trying to cross illegally into the United States from Canada by foot. The autopsies determined the cause of death to be hypothermia due to exposure in a wet and cold environment. The coroner ruled the deaths accidental, according to the police. And finally, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and some big names in the entertainment world teamed up on Thursday night to deliver a rousing New York embrace of President Biden that hauled in a record-setting $26 million plus for his re-election campaign. The mood at Radio City Music Hall was electric as Obama praised Biden's willingness to look for common ground and said, quote, "That's the kind of president I want." Clinton said simply of the choices facing voters in 2024, quote, "Stay with what works." Biden himself went straight at Donald Trump, saying of his expected GOP rival, his ideas were, quote, "a little odd, a little old, actually, and out of shape." Moderator Stephen Colbert, in an armchair conversation with the trio, called them champion talkers, and joked that the three presidents had come to town, quote, "and not one of them is here to appear in court," which is a dig at Trump's many legal troubles, of course. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Tuesday, we have some brand new messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and how it's meet the Mets out in Queens. Not only did the Mets fall to 0-4 for the first time since 2005 in their extra inning loss to the Tigers, but Tylor Megill was placed on the 15-day IL with a right shoulder strain one day after he was limited to 4 innings in a season debut. But there also was some history made in the majors last night with the first no-hitter of the year. Yeah, I know, it sounds a bit early, and I agree. We're going to talk together, of course, the latest national news. Down in Florida, out of Tallahassee, the Supreme Court there yesterday, they cleared the way for the state to ban abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, before many women even know that they're pregnant, while also giving voters a chance to remove the restrictions when they go to the polls in November. And at the end of the broadcast today, talking more about the solar eclipse happening next Monday, as the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, Andrew Bozos is going to be cruising at 17,000 feet with rosé in hand after he dropped $2,000 to watch the eclipse from a private plane's window. So on this Tuesday, where the weather is dreary and the rain and the winds are going to pick up, it means it's going to be a real mess out there, but there is a light at the end of a tunnel. So on this Tuesday, don't know why I'm mixing days up. So on this Tuesday, we're going to talk about all that and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, "I've made an enormous mistake." But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council. Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, you know, when my partner and I got together all those years ago, she told me that she was going to be the best girlfriend partner that I was ever going to have. Now, nearly 6 years later, I continue to remind myself every day that she was right. It really doesn't get any better than her. This is the Update with Brandon Julia, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street Jackson Heights because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldred's Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer, an MTA employee, or use the Help Point intercom in stations. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the Sports Update.
You know, as a Mets fan, and I'm pretty sure I've made my Mets fan status very known on this program over the years, I think it's fair to say, as a Mets fan and the host of this show, I have sat through some absolute garbage seasons over the 7+ years we've been doing this program. The only season that I think was not garbage was 2022. And that ended, of course, in the limpest possible way. Needless to say, hopes were not that high for the Mets this year, because they're still in this sort of rebuilding mode, you know. But they've done themselves absolutely no favors. In the series against the Brewers over the weekend, they looked like they didn't have a lot of life in them. And then there was the game last night. Sean Manaea, he pitched a gem, I tell you. Didn't allow a hit for the first 5 2/3. Left after 6 innings, allowed only 1 hit. But in what felt like Jacob DeGrom's season, or many of those seasons, actually, he could not buy a run. And it seems like the Mets' offense right now cannot buy a whole lot of runs. But anyway, enough about my personal gripes with the Mets aside. how I wish I was making it up. Mets and the Tigers going at it out in at the great big ballpark in Queens, known as Citi Field. Carson Kelly, he had a 3-run homer to cap a 5-run 10th inning. And the Tigers extended their best start in almost a decade with a 5-0 win over the Mets, who fell to 0-4 for the first time since 2005. The teams combined to get just 2 runners, one apiece, into scoring position in the first 9 innings before the Tigers broke the tie in the 10th. Spencer Torkelson and Parker Meadows scored on a grounder by Colt Keefe and a sack fly by Javi Baez, respectively, before Kelly homered to left against Michael Tonkin, who took the loss. Jason Foley, who got the win, struck out 2 in the 9th before Shelby Miller tossed a perfect 10 for the Tigers. They're 4-0 for the first time since they went 6-0 back in 2015. The Mets were hitless in 9 plate appearances with a runner on base. The Mets lost their first 5 games of the year 19 years ago. So let's see, do some quick math here. 14-24. They have not lost 5 games in a row to start the season since 2003. And that 2003 season, I think it's safe to say, was pretty shit. And if it wasn't any worse in the Meet the Mess, Tylor McGill was put on the 15-day IL with a right shoulder strain yesterday, one day after he was limited to 4 innings in a season debut. It's the 4th trip to the IL in the last 3 seasons for McGill, who missed more than 3 months with a right shoulder strain in 2022. He said the experience that year was much more intense than what he experienced on Sunday when he allowed just 1 earned run. McGill said, quote, "It's not too serious, nowhere near anything what it was in 22. So that's a good sign. Is it, though? McGill will be shut down for throwing for 5 to 7 days. To replace McGill on the active roster, the Mets recall right-handed reliever Reed Garrett from AAA Syracuse. With an off-day scheduled for Thursday, the Mets won't need a 5th starter until early next week. McGill did edge out Jose Buto for the last spot in the rotation in spring training, but since Buto was optioned to AAA Syracuse prior to the season opener, he can't be recalled for another 10 days. Out in the American West, we go to Phoenix, where the Yankees are on an early road trip out west. They were playing the Diamondbacks. And say what you want about the Yankees, but they're having the best start to a season they've had in quite a long time. Luis Gill had a successful outing in his return from Tommy John surgery. And the Yankees, they're starting the season on a 5-game winning streak for the first time in more than 3 decades, beating the Diamondbacks 5-2. Anthony Volpe had his first career 4-hit game two doubles, and an RBI. The Yankees also started the year with five wins in five games in 1933, 1988, and 1992. The 27 Yankees started 6-0, but they had a tie in their third game. Gill, maybe they're related. Gill made his first appearance in nearly 2 years with an impressive fastball that touched 100 miles per hour. Yankee catcher Austin Wells said, quote, "He came out firing first batter of the game. That was really cool. We were all super pumped for him to be out there." Yes, good news for the Yankees. But nowhere was that good news more than in Houston, where the Astros were taking on the Blue Jays. And the only reason why we're mentioning it is that the season, it might be a couple of days old, but we already have our first no-hitter of the year. The Ronel Blanco, the Astros, blew through the first no-hitter in the majors, blanking the Blue Jays 10-0. The right-hander, he struck out 7 and walked 2. He walked George Springer to start the game, and then he did again to him with 2 outs in the 9th. When Vladimir Guerrero grounded out to end it, Blanco smiled broadly before raising his arms above his head just before getting mobbed by his teammates. It was the 17th no-hitter in Astros history, and the first in the majors, since Michael Lorenzen of the Phillies threw one against the Nationals last August 9th. Houston's previous no-hitter came about a week before Lorenzen's, when Framber Valdez did it in a 2-0 win over the Guardians back on August 1st. Kyle Tucker and Yanier Diaz each homered twice to provide the offense in this one, as the Astros won their first game of the year after losing 4 straight to the Yanks. Joe Espada became the first manager in Major League history to get his first win in a no-hitter. So, you know, good for him. From the diamond, let's go out to the ice. Rangers and the Penguins going at it at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Rangers, they're looking to stay on top in the Metropolitan Division for playoff positioning as the season comes to a close. Sidney Crosby had 2 goals and an assist, and Alex Nedeljkovic made 28 saves as the Penguins beat the Rangers 5-2, snapping their 5-game winning streak. Brian Rust also scored twice, and Emil Bemstrom added a goal for Pittsburgh, which ended a 4-game losing streak in New York and improved to 14-9-3 in their last 26 against the Rangers. The Penguins, they lost both of the previous games this season in Pittsburgh against the first-place Rangers, and were making their lone appearance of the year at MSG. Kapow Kakao and Jack Roslovic scored goals for the Rangers. Igor Shesterkin finished with 16 saves. Down the turnpike from here in Philadelphia, Islanders and the Flyers going at it. The Isles are simply just playing for their playoff lives at this point. Brock Nelson, he scored 125 in overtime, and the Isles preserved their playoff hopes, just barely, with a 4-3 win over the Flyers. Anders Lee, Bo Horvat, and Matt Martin also scored for the Isles, who moved within 4 points of the Flyers for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. The Islanders, to their credit, have 2 more games remaining on their schedule than the Islanders. Simon Varlamov stopped 29 shots to help the Isles get their 3rd win in 11 games. Nelson scored after a turnover by Morgan Frost in his own zone for his 30th goal of the year, tying him with Horvat for the team lead. Frost, Noah Cates, and Travis Sanheim had goals for the Flyers, who've lost 3 in a row and 8 of their last 10. And finally, why don't we end with a little bit of the hardwood? Indianapolis, Nets, and the Pacers. Nets trying to salvage something at this point. I'm not 100% sure, actually. But Tyrese Haliburton had 27 and 13 assists to lead the Pacers to a 133-111 rout of the Nets. Despite being ejected for a flagrant foul midway through the third, Pacers forward Jalen Smith had 17 points and 10 boards. Dennis Schroeder of Brooklyn was called for a technical foul for flailing on the follow-through and hitting Smith's face. Then Smith was called for a flagrant foul and was ejected when he retaliated by pushing Schroeder. The two of them then had to be separated. Pascal Siakam added 15 and Obi Toppin at 14 for the Pacers. Cam Thomas scored 22, Trenton Watford 21, and Mikal Bridges had 19 for the Nets. The latest on the bridge collapse in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The owner and the manager of the cargo ship, they filed a court petition seeking to limit their legal liability in the deadly disaster. Federal researchers, they're indicating the gray area, the whale population along the West Coast, it's showing signs of recovery 5 years after hundreds of them washed up dead on the beaches from Alaska to Mexico. And do you think that you could be the Powerball winner? A $1 billion jackpot was tempting players who just think they might hit it rich after 3 months without a big winner. Going to talk about this because national news, it is next for us around here, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. Brandon Julian. You know, folks, of all of the podcasters and the news anchors in the city of New York, I just so happen to be one of them. I just think I'm a little bit different than the rest. This is the Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
From New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies, this is the Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you're listening to podcasts. Welcome back to the Update, Brandon Julian, on a Tuesday, everyone. Thank you so much for still being here with us as we start, theoretically, a brand new week together. As we're now rolling along to spring break, which is not that far away from now. It's only like about 2 weeks or so away. You know, I found this interesting statistic that I read before the show today, that New York City school kids are only going to be in schools for 13 days this month. So this is day one of 13. Oh, all you got to do is just count up 13 days, not counting weekends, and we're at spring break. Let's go. Speaking of let's go, talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to begin down in Tallahassee in Florida, where the Florida Supreme Court yesterday, they cleared the way for the state to ban abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, before many women know that they're even pregnant, while also giving voters a chance to remove these restrictions come election time in November. The court, which was reshaped by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, ruled 6-1 to uphold the state's ban on most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, meaning a ban on 6 weeks could soon take effect. But under a separate 4-3 ruling, the court allowed a ballot measure to go to the voters that would enshrine abortion rights in Florida's constitution. The court's decisions could be pivotal in the presidential race and the congressional contest this year by driving abortion rights supporters to the polls. Since the Supreme Court, of course, overturned Roe v. Wade in June of 2022, voters in every state with an abortion-related ballot measure have favored the side backed by abortion rights supporters. In other news, the latest on the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore, where we've learned the owner and the manager of that cargo ship filed a court petition yesterday, seeking to limit their legal liability for the deadly disaster. The company's limitation of liability petition is a routine but important procedure for cases that are litigated under U.S. maritime law. A federal court in Maryland ultimately decides who is responsible and how much they owe for what could become one of the costliest catastrophes of its kind. Singapore-based Grace Ocean Private Ltd. Owns the dolly, the vessel, of course, that lost power before it slammed into the bridge last week. A Synergy Maritime Pte. Ltd., also based in Singapore, is the ship's manager. Their joint filing seeks to cap the company's liability at roughly $44 million. It estimates that the vessel itself is valued at up to $90 million and was owed over $1 million in income from freight. The estimate also deducts two major expenses, at least $28 million in repair costs and at least $19.5 million in salvage costs. Up I-95 we go now over to Boston, Well, the lawyers that are representing the migrants that were flown to Martha's Vineyard nearly 2 years ago by Governor DeSantis can now sue the charter flight company that transported them to the island off the Massachusetts coast. At least that's according to a ruling yesterday by a federal judge. The 50 Venezuelans were sent to Martha's Vineyard, of course, from San Antonio, Texas, and have been promised work and housing opportunities. Under yesterday's ruling, the migrants can proceed with their suit against Florida-based Vetrol Systems Co., which had agreed to fly them to the islands for hundreds of thousands of dollars. An email to the company seeking comment after the release of the ruling was not immediately returned. Also named in the suit is DeSantis himself, who of course unsuccessfully ran for the Republican nomination before dropping out in January. The U.S. District Court of Massachusetts said in its ruling that it does not have jurisdiction over DeSantis in this case. We're going to go over now to the island of Hawaii, where we've learned that Lou Conter, the last living survivor of the USS Arizona battleship that exploded and sank during the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor, has died. He was 102 years old. Conter passed away yesterday at his home in Grass Valley, California, following congestive heart failure, according to his daughter, Luann Daly, adding that she was beside him along with two of her brothers, James and Jeff. The Arizona, they lost 1,177 sailors and Marines in the attack back in 1941 that launched the United States into World War II. The battleship's dead account for nearly half of those that were killed in the attack. Conter was a quartermaster standing on the main deck of the Arizona as Japanese planes flew overhead at 7:55 a.m. on December 7th of that year. Sailors were just beginning to hoist colors or raise the flag when the assault began. Conter recalled how one bomb penetrated steel decks 13 minutes into the battle and set off more than 1 million pounds of gunpowder that was stored below. Out in the American West we go now, over to Seattle, where federal researchers are indicating the gray whale population along the West Coast is showing signs of recovery nearly 5 years after hundreds of them washed up dead on the beaches from Alaska to Mexico. The increase in population numbers comes after NOAA determined back in November that the, quote, unusual mortality event that began in 2019 has now ended. Ami Lang, a research biologist with NOAA's Southwest Fishery Science Center, told the Seattle Times, quote, it's nice to be able to report some good news the last couple of years. The agency estimated the total number of Eastern North Pacific gray whales to be between 17,400 to 21,300, an increase from an estimated 13,200 to 15,960 whales last year. And finally, we're going to go over to Des Moines in Iowa, where that billion-dollar Powerball jackpot tempted players last night who think that they just might hit it rich after 3 months without a big winner. The jackpot, of course, reached $1 billion, marking the fifth time that a Powerball prize has reached that level, according to game officials in a news release. Nobody had won the jackpot since New Year's Day, a stretch of 38 consecutive drawings without anyone matching the game's six numbers. Now, if nobody won the jackpot last night, so if nobody wins the jackpot tomorrow night, the game will match its record number of 41 consecutive drawings on Saturday night. And speaking of things you could spend your winnings on, You know, the solar eclipse is on Monday. We already told you about that. But as the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun that day, Andrew Bozos is going to be cruising at about 17,000 feet with some rosé in hand, having dropped $2,000 to watch the solar eclipse from a private plane's window. Going to talk about this, folks, because your honorable mention is next. When the update, Brandon Julian continues.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Tuesday, everyone. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us as we theoretically start a new week together. You know, there's just enough time left today, of course, folks, for your honorable mention. We've been talking about the solar eclipse a lot today, and we probably will over the next 6 days or so until the eclipse next Monday, April the 8th. Because, you know, it's going to be a nationwide event. How often does that happen? By the way, the next eclipse will not happen until 2044. So, you know, we got to wait another 20 years for that. I'll be 47 then. 46, actually. Oh, dear. But for this current eclipse happening Monday, when the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, Andrew Bozos, he's going to be cruising at 17,000 feet with some rosé in his hand, having dropped $2,000 to watch the solar eclipse from a private plane's window. He's not going to be alone, of course. The private plane company Blade has sold out 14 flights from New York, costing anywhere between $2,000 and $3,750, which will let people see the 5-minute astronomical phenomenon from the air. And with days to go, folks, people who want to catch the once-in-a-generation total eclipse are shelling out 4 and 5 figures just for these exclusive experiences. Bozos and other New Yorkers are venturing far and wide for the chance to catch the first total eclipse in this country since 2017, which we also covered on the first year of this show. Amazing how things work like that. But anyway, the first total eclipse in this country since 2017 is going to happen when the sun vanishes into the, quote, zone of totality from Mexico's Pacific coast on a northeasterly route through Texas, Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, Indiana, Ohio, upstate New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine before passing through Canada's maritime provinces. Bozos, who is 61, an orthopedic surgeon, and the founder of CrowdRx, which provides medical services at arenas and large venues, told the Post, that's the New York Post, of spending around $2,000 for Blades' package, quote, "It'll be my first eclipse. I'm splurging on myself for this one." Having just missed the Northern Lights on a recent trip to Ireland, and the last eclipse in 2017, The science buff is banking on the stars aligning when he watches from above Buffalo on board Blades' Pilatus PC-12. On board, when it takes off from the Westchester Airport at about 1 in the afternoon, flying over the path of totality in Buffalo on Monday, flying along the moon's path as it moves northeast as the sun becomes completely covered without having to land for the 3-hour experience that will last around 3 hours. That's nice math. Bezos told the Post of booking the flight, which now is a wait list of New Yorkers in the 300s, quote, "I'm a science nerd. I love astronomy. It's totally worth it. And I just jumped on the opportunity." And then he almost missed it. Because you see, Rosen Branch, the chief marketing officer for Blade, told the Post of the solar eclipse package that rolled out with 12 flights of 112 people, quote, "It sold out within 15 minutes of sending the email. We couldn't add flights quick enough." Daphne Schillick, age 52, who works in legal services, and her husband, Josh Winterfield, age 43, a science teacher, have been planning their trip to Kingston, which is a city in Ontario in Canada, where the eclipse will be visible for the once-in-a-lifetime event. And in case the weather does not permit, which thankfully is looking like it will cooperate, they spend hundreds of dollars in deposits at hotels in Youngstown, Ohio, and in Auburn in New York. Schillick told the Post of shelling out $100 for a special filter for their Canon camera and dusting off their telescope from the last partial eclipse viewing that they saw in Battery Park in 2017, quote, "We have a telescope, our glasses, and a filter for the camera." But other people, they're picking their venues very, very carefully. Schlick says, adding that she and her husband of the Upper West Side are taking vacation days for this family trip, quote, "We've booked other hotels in different cities next to the zone of totality just in case Kingston is cloudy. This is the only time we'll be able to see with our kid. We won't be alive whenever the next one is going to be." Well, they just said the next one is going to be in 2044, but I digress. 43-year-old Minnie Woolstone, who lives in Tribeca and works in financial technology, is shelling out about $5,000 road tripping from downtown Manhattan to Weston, Vermont for a solo spa vacation at the 5-star boutique hotel, the Weston, for the cosmic event where he plans on taking plenty of photos to share with his son. Woolstone himself told the Post of driving up Sunday morning and staying through Tuesday, quote, "I'm all about experience. I've traveled all over the world. I figured, why not get out of New York City and have a getaway? I'm doing it myself to get away from the hustle and bustle. I love science. Why not get some relaxation in with the solar eclipse?" The New York Public Library here in town, they're giving out free glasses that you can watch the solar eclipse safely. Because you don't want to stare directly at the eclipse. I learned this in a Dr. Mike video on YouTube. If you stare directly into the sun, you can develop something known as the solar retinopathy, where you can actually get like a black spot right in the middle of your field of vision. So yeah, you don't want that. You could also make toilet roll, a plastic roll holder. I'm pretty sure you can find out where to do it. There have been calls for the schools to be closed on when this eclipse happens, because what's the one thing that you know people are gonna do? At least the kids will do, and that's stare directly into the sun. So you know, we'll just have to wait and see on that. I will let you guys ponder on this, though, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Tuesday, April the 2nd, 2024. That is the update on this Tuesday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of My Favorite Episode series, we're going to look back at the president taking us out of the Iran nuclear deal. It's a pivotal moment, or at least one of them, in the Donald Trump presidency. And we're going to talk about that on the 13th. Yes, we have a date set now. April 13th, wherever you listen to this podcast. So until you put on your poncho, you put on your poncho to dodge all the raindrops. We'll say, of course, in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, folks, please be well. And, honey, warm up that toaster oven because, like I said, I definitely feel like cooking tonight. Rain, go away. It won't, at least for a couple of more days. And then we get the sunshine back and the warm temperatures. Let's talk about that and a lot more too, of course, folks. And I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.